The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled, since they were no more. When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Today is December 28th. That would normally be the Feast of the Holy Innocents, so I included those three verses to give greater weight to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. So I want to give a little history, because we've got Herod the Great, and we have one of his sons, Archelaus. It's the only time you're going to hear Archelaus. He's not around a long time. Herod the Great reigned from 37 BC to 4 BC. He was a buddy of Mark Antony. But then Caesar Octavian Augustus destroyed Mark Antony in a battle at Actium in 31 BC. And Herod was scared to death. So Herod immediately goes to Rome. He lays on the floor. He takes his crown off and puts it at the feet of Caesar Augustus. And he kept his job as king of Jerusalem. That's Herod. And in the first 10 years of Herod being in Jerusalem, he killed anyone who challenged his authority. He had 10 wives, 5 of whom figured historically. He appointed a high priest and then killed him. He killed one of his sons. He killed a brother-in-law. He killed his second wife. He killed his mother-in-law. He is called the Great because he built the greatest temple that Jerusalem has ever had, bigger than the one of Solomon. That's why he's called Herod the Great. He's ruthless. Caesar Augustus said, it would be better to have been his pig than his family member, because he wouldn't eat pork to appease the Jews. He was not raised a Jew. He was an outsider. So when he dies in about 2 BC, right in there, Archelaus becomes the king of Jerusalem. And he is the son of Herod's fourth wife. And he reigned for about 10 years. And so he arbitrarily changed the high priest of the temple at will. And he has no authority to do that. And so all the Jewish establishment in Jerusalem was furious. And they sent a delegation to Rome to tell Caesar, would you get rid of him? Because he's upsetting us, and the emperor did, and banished him to Gaul, which is France. Then, about 6 AD, Herod Antipas takes over. He's the younger brother of Archelaus, and he'll reign from 6 AD to 39 AD. So he's there with John the Baptist, Jesus, and the rest. He took his half-brother's wife, Herodias, as his own wife. And John the Baptist was beheaded because of his preaching against that affair. Eventually, this Herod Antipas, whom Jesus said, "You go tell that fox," because he was conniving and dangerous. That's this Herod. Eventually, this Herod, because of his belligerent politics with the people, caused another Jewish delegation to go all the way to Rome and beg the emperor, "Get rid of him and give us somebody else." And emperor did. And they got rid of him and sent him to Gaul, exiled him. So that's the environment. And you got Caesar Augustus, right? The all-powerful one, right? He is the greatest, most powerful emperor. And so all that is going on when you have God's hand at work and the Messiah is born, in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman. And then we have the Holy Family today. So in the midst of this darkness of this world, the humble and holy family trusted in God and did his will. And we see this directly today through Joseph, who is guiding the family, because the father cares for his family. The safety of the Holy Family and the preservation of the hope of salvation for the entire human family is in the hands of Saint Joseph. And he must care for Mary and this baby. And this was God's plan. We will celebrate the Three Kings next Sunday, Epiphany. So the story goes, tradition, that the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, especially the gold, the Holy Family is able to use. And they left, right? And they went to Egypt, as the Gospel says today. And on the way there, they stopped in the area of Gaza. And that is where there is a church to the Holy Family. And they use that money in their stopover in Gaza on their way to Egypt. And the church is still there. Well, parts of it. All that is going on with the Holy Family, caring for each other, with Joseph leading them and getting them down the road all the way to Egypt. And in a particular way, seen in Saint Joseph, fathers of the families must pray, protect, and guide the family. Joseph was open to hear the voice of God, and he was prompt in his obedience. And as a just man, he went into action. Christian families need fathers. Marriage is a good and a necessary means of conveying civilization, identity, and the raising of children. And our society suffers because we suffer the destruction of families. It's happening everywhere. We suffer the loss of fathers and now mothers and families. Now the words of the first reading from Sirach, the last of the wisdom books, seem distant and unobtainable because we've been accustomed to brokenness and drifting in our society. I mean, we look at the world without the family, without a Christian family, without Christian fathers and mothers. Children will not honor, respect, and care for their parents if they are not first raised in the faith and with faith. Saint Joseph, then, is a type. He's a figure for each believer to mirror, for each person. Jesus entrusts himself to us, and he dwells with us in the Spirit and in the Eucharist, just as Jesus entrusted himself to Joseph. That was God's plan. I mean, God's in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman, right? To deliver us from the law, right? To give us a new life. Galatians 4, as I mentioned. So God's plan was the Blessed Virgin Mary, and clearly God's plan is Joseph. Because God's got a plan for the protection and the care of this salvation, which will come to all people. And Jesus continues to dwell with us in the Holy Spirit and the Eucharist. So if faith is not the foundation, then the family just drifts into selfish waters and the members just drift apart. And I don't know about you, but I see that all the time for 25 years. So if a family does not place God first and do his will, then to what or to whom do they submit their will? The world, this country, this parish needs families, or everything ceases to exist without families. Parents then form each other. That's what parents do. They become the primary spiritual directors for each other. Two Christian people forming each other to guide, to walk in this world. So parents form each other and their children with the wisdom and grace that comes from God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And a Christian marriage forms the culture and stands in contrast to the selfish and fearful society which is becoming nothing more than just a collection of individuals. That is our society. A child cannot live the fourth commandment unless the family is raised with faith. They will not know what to honor and what to guide and what to give. And the fourth commandment is not oppressive. It's not abusive. It's not brutal. It's not anything like that. It's just simply honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, that you may have a long life. It's the only commandment with a promise. And so that honoring father and mother has to be taught and has to be lived within, and so the honor will go both ways, and so that they can have that family formed in faith. Then hope is the anchor, securing the ship of the family, which is the domestic church rooted in faith and lived in God's love.